This is Earth Files, the award-winning news site with the latest updates in science, environment, and real X-Files. Podcasting in-depth reports beyond the 6 o'clock news by Emmy Award-winning journalist Linda Moulton Howe.
Since the first week of May, 7 people in California, 1 in Birmingham, Alabama, and another from Louisiana, for a total of 9, have reported seeing a dragonfly-shaped aerial object in the sky that has a ring body, a long tail, and a variety of appendages extending from the ring. 4 of the 7 California eyewitnesses have provided photographs to UFOCasebook.com and CoastToCoastAM.com. In chronological order, the locations and dates of those images began on May 5th in Lake Tahoe, submitted anonymously by someone calling themselves MUFON Submitter 7013. The next day, on May 6, 2007, in the Bakersfield, California region, a man named Chad took a series of very clear images on a digital camera and sent them to Coast to Coast AM webmaster Lex. That aerial dragonfly-shaped object was similar to the Lake Tahoe craft, but had more appendages extending from the ring body. Lex and I talked about the photographs, and Lex agreed to see if Chad would communicate with me. He did in a series of emails which stressed his anxiety about his pregnant wife and worries about whether the strange aerial craft was emitting radiation that could harm her and their unborn child. Based on Chad's description of a humming static sound, I emailed back that was more characteristic of electrostatic discharges and not radiation. Chad's photographs provoked a lot of controversy about whether they were photoshopped. Chad insisted the photographs were taken with his camera, but he did not want to talk in a recorded interview. Chad emailed me that he was nervous and was going to travel away from it all with his wife for a while. Then on May 16th in Capitola, California, east of Santa Cruz on Monterey Bay, another series of 6 clear images were allegedly taken by someone calling himself Rajman 1977. The dragonfly-shaped aerial craft had changed again with 2 large box-like appendages added to the ring. But then a retired California mental health professional named Shirley had emailed me about her sighting of the dragonfly-shaped aerial object during a trip with her father to Sequoia National Park in May 2005, 2 full years before. She agreed to a taped interview, provided that I protect her full name and location. After the Shirley interview was made public at my news website, earthfiles.com, and in broadcasts for Dreamland and Coast to Coast AM, I received emails from 2 more eyewitnesses. The first was a military subcontractor working in the Southeast who also requested anonymity, but wanted me to see a photograph that he had taken in May 2006 in Birmingham, Alabama, a year ago. John Smith, as I call him, saw and photographed a dragonfly-shaped object in the air, low over power lines near a construction site where Mr. Smith was delivering materials. He went to the construction site office to ask what the strange object was. There were no answers, and Mr. Smith returned to the power pole to see if the dragonfly-shaped aerial object was still there. But it was gone. Mr. Smith gave me permission to show his photograph of the May 2006 Birmingham, Alabama dragonfly object at Earth Files. Right after John Smith's photograph was public, I received another email from a professional engineer who also requested anonymity. The engineer wrote that he had seen a strange craft very similar to what Mr. Smith photographed, but the year was around 1987 and the location was inside an airplane hangar at Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana. He was attending an air show, was touring various displays, and wondered what the approximately 25-foot-long dragonfly-shaped craft was. But before he and others on the tour could ask questions, men in military uniform showed up and ordered the tour out of the hangar, saying a mistake had been made. That hangar was for military personnel only, not the airshow tour. The engineer emailed to me the following comment included in one of my Earth Files reports, quote, "I don't remember what the thing was called, but it was some kind of surveillance or intelligence gathering drone. I didn't see why they thought they had to run us out of the hangar, but of course I respected their notion of security. I didn't see what the big deal was about some funny looking ring gadget with a wing," unquote. Then on May 23rd, 2007, I received another important email including a sketch of a dragonfly-shaped aerial object from a California mother who had been camping with her two sons in Yosemite National Park a year ago. She asked for anonymity, but wanted me to know that on the night of June 10th, 2006, quote, "It was about a half hour before sundown, and we were about 10 minutes from our campsite looking for marshmallow roasting sticks. We first noticed this thing almost directly above us, not much higher than the tops of the trees. It looked just like the sketch that I enclosed, despite my lack of drawing skill, and it was moving extremely slowly. The way it moved looked like it didn't take any effort. As you can see in my sketch, it was like two very long, thin shapes connected by a ring. The arms looked just like the photographs you posted, although I don't remember seeing any of the lettering." And she means the lettering that was in Chad's photos. "It was getting pretty dark, though, so I'm not going to say it wasn't there. I just don't remember seeing anything like that. Coming off the top of the ring were those same curved spike things like in the Chad and other photos. However, unlike the other photographs, the thing my sons and I also saw was it had kind of an arm that reached down from the ring. I have no idea what any of these features were for, as I never saw it do anything other than fly around. My oldest son, who is 10, decided to shine his powerful flashlight on the thing to get a better look. I didn't even have a chance to react to what he was doing when things got weird. It was like the moment the light hit that thing, it jerked very quickly and started to move in another direction. The boys found this amusing. They chased after it and hit it with the light again, which caused the thing to change direction a second time. I ran to keep up with them. The boys did this maybe three or four more times until the thing finally stopped reacting and just stopped. Like froze in the air without even slowing down. I must say, seeing this thing totally motionless was a lot more unsettling than seeing it move. Even the boys stopped in their tracks at that point. It just hung there for about 5 seconds and then got going again. From then on, it stuck to its direction, still moving very slowly, and no longer jerked around. You could say that this thing moved like the other reports where people said it was like a water insect. But in our case, it only seemed to do that in reaction to the flashlights, not on its own." Unquote. About the same time that I received that email about the Yosemite experience, I received an email from a professional California hypnotherapist and doctor of divinity who described a May 2006 encounter in Northridge, California, with an aerial object that he compared to a horseshoe crab with a long tail seen in profile. Horseshoe crab also fits what showed up next. By June 7th, UFOCasebook.com had received more drone images from a female intermediary acting on behalf of someone called Stephen. The latest images were allegedly taken in Big Basin Redwood State Park, California, northwest of San Jose, on June 5th, 2007. This is a more sinister-looking machine than the previous four versions and would fit the category of a horseshoe crab with long tail and profile. This version of the aerial craft has projections emitting from the top, sides, and bottom of the ring and looks like a military weapon. I asked both the California mother from the Yosemite encounter and the professional hypnotherapist who was stunned by his Northridge sighting if they would agree to recorded interviews with or without their names and locations. The California mother so far has not agreed, but the hypnotherapist and doctor of divinity has agreed. So for the first time in a month of controversy, I have my first recorded interview with an eyewitness willing to use his full name, profession, and location. He is Robert Mariotti, a 74-year-old clinical hypnotherapist who uses hypnosis to help people lose weight, stop smoking, cope with stress, and relationship problems. His home is in Canoga Park, California. 1 year ago, on May 17, 2006, Robert Mariotti was traveling in his car a little before 10 p.m. after leaving the Hypnosis Motivation Institute in Tarzana. He was traveling west, approaching the big Northridge shopping mall. Now, in his own words, Robert Mariotti describes what he and another driver next to him saw that left them both astonished, with their mouths literally open.
I was heading in a westerly direction and coming up to a cross street called Corbin Avenue, which is one side of the big Northridge Mall where the earthquake took place in 1994. And on this particular street that was coming up to Corbin Street address here, on the south side of the street, there's a series of small homes with trees lining each one of the homes in front of the home. And the night was clear. It was dark, but it was clear. You could see the night sky. You could see stars. There wasn't any clouds or anything. And there was another vehicle on the inside lane, which would be closest to the curb, directly in back of me, about two car lengths, and he was coming up on my right. We had both had our windows down. I'd had mine down, both windows in my truck. And about 30 feet, before we got to the corner, there's a traffic signal there turning red, and we're slowing down. And he was kind of creeping up on me. And above the tree to our right, the big tree that was the first one at that corner there, suddenly there was a glow. Now, this glow was about, I would say from tail to the beginning to the front of this thing, it had to be 30 feet. It was 10 feet above the tree, and it suddenly lit up, but it lit up like, you know, these little glass, I don't know what you would call them. You shake them up, and maybe it's a Santa Claus or a Christmas ball.
Oh, yeah.
And you have all these little glitters going in there. And when you do, you can actually see through the glitters and see through the other side.
Right.
Well, that's what this thing did, except that you couldn't see through the glitters. And it was a brilliant fluorescent apple green. And it took the shape of looking at a horseshoe crab sideways. And you're looking at it sideways, it has a tail coming out, going down to a point. Well, when this thing did this, we both stopped, and he pulled up right aside of me, and he says, you know, like, what the, and you can visualize, imagine the word he used,
right,
was that.
Okay? Right.
And I says, I don't know. Neither one of us can identify it, but it has to be something unidentified, so I would say it's a UFO. But you could count no more than the count of three, like one, two, three, and this thing just it streaked forward maybe about 5 feet and then disappeared. Now, to me, it was like there was the clear sky. There was nothing above this tree. You know, there were some stars out. And all of a sudden, this thing lights up. So it had to be there being invisible to begin with.
It isn't like it came from any place. It just suddenly was fluorescing.
Just appeared. And I mean, it startled both of us, like we just stopped dead before we even got to the traffic signal. And he rolled up to me and I told you what he said. Mm-hmm. And, then I kept looking for it all the way home to see if it was going to light up again. I kept looking to my right because it, like I said, it moved about 5 feet in a southerly direction and then just disappeared. It just stopped. There was no indication that that even was there. There was no smoke, so it wasn't anything that lit up on fire.
It was there. It looked like the side profile of a horseshoe crab.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was this fluorescent apple green,
right,
that was glittering, mm-hmm, and it seemed to move like a solid object for about 5 feet, But then, did it simply blink out? Did it rheostat fade out? What happened?
No, there was no fade out. It just stopped. There was no more glitters.
So it really just disappeared like a pop-out.
Right, exactly. You know, it suddenly appeared and suddenly disappeared. It would be just like if you and I were standing together and I just disappeared in front of your eyes. Now, the interesting thing is the one object that was on Coast to Coast, the first one.
Right, the Chad photos.
Yeah, and then there was a second time that someone else had seen it.
Yeah, there's Lake Tahoe, Capitola, Birmingham, yeah. Alabama, and now
right.
The latest is from Big Basin, California.
Okay. Now, on the very first one that I seen, there was kind of like a side view of it, too, and you could see some wires coming from the top.
Yes.
All around. Now, just keeping that in mind, if you turn that completely sideways and that those wires or whatever it was on top was like the beginning of the glow,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Right.
It was humped up above and then straight at the bottom.
If that profile in the Chad photo were glowing, then it would have been very similar to what you saw that night in Northridge.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. And the interesting thing about it to me is that this happened all above a tree. And all of the other ones that I've seen, most of them seem to be around trees. There was a couple of pictures I recall seeing that. It was also near some kind of a pole, a utility pole.
Two of the eyewitnesses who have submitted photos, one in Capitola, California, the other in Birmingham, Alabama.
Uh-huh.
Both times, this horseshoe crab or dragonfly-shaped object has been right over the power poles.
Yeah.
Which is interesting in and of itself.
Right.
Well, something's out there. I have the backgrounds on the people, even if I haven't been able to use their names. I am so grateful to you that I can use your name on the record. It is so important that people who have seen these objects be on the record, I think, because something, Robert, something's out there flying around that is highly unusual.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And now I want to share a relevant excerpt from an alleged government document leaked to Bob and Ryan Wood in their Majestic 12 Documents project at www.majesticdocuments.com. The paper is entitled, quote, Edward Teller's Pitch to President Reagan for SDI, which stands for Strategic Defense Initiative. The date is July 2nd, a year or two after Ronald Reagan became president in January of 1981. Edward Teller's memorandum to President Reagan begins, quote, I wish to bring to your attention a very real and dangerous situation that threatens not only us, the world, but our very existence as a race. A menace greater than the nuclear arms race exists. It does not originate here on Earth, but comes from space itself. The agent of mass destruction has no reasoning psychology other than the ultimate destruction of our civilization and our way of life as we know it. Our innate fear of the unknown has interfered with our ability to comprehend it. A space attack could be real in the near future, bringing with it the truth that our inaction could immensely accelerate global war, unquote. Then Dr. Teller outlined defense systems he thought necessary in order to cope with the outer space menace, which is not clearly defined. On page 4 of his memorandum to President Reagan, he wrote, quote, Remotely piloted vehicles, RPVs, have been developed and tested with marginal success. The possibility of RPVs exists for the enemy as well as for us. The use of RPVs was first explored by the U.S. Air Force. It can also be applied to small space objects. An ingenious new circular airfoil design is now in experimental stage. A single wing is used in this design. Another design is also under development. This other one uses a single wing as well, pivoting at its center at the fuselage. The wing is at right angles to the plane at takeoff and landing, but as the right wing points forward, the left points backward, unquote. Well, that was 25-some years ago. The bottom of the memo, there are two checkoff boxes labeled yes or no next to the two words, presidential approval. On the memo copy I have, there is no indication of President Reagan's answer. But the Star Wars Strategic Defense Initiative Program was approved in 1984 under the direction of physicist Edward Teller. And remotely piloted drones built around a new circular airfoil design with a single wing pivoting at the center was on his priority list.
Thanks for listening to this Earth Files podcast from the edges of science, environment, and real X-Files. Go to www.earthfiles.com to see more than 1,000 Earth Files reports with photographs, drawings, and documents. And visit Earth Files every day, every week, for new reports and new podcasts. That's www.earthfiles.com.